as Christians Together, the website serving the Christian community in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. It is an interview recorded in December 2007, which is the 90th anniversary of General Allenby entering Jerusalem. And the interview is with David Andrew, editor of the magazine Sword, and we're speaking about the import for the Church of God's end time purposes for Israel. The interview was conducted just after the UK premiere of a film called The Destiny of Britain, which outlines the links between Britain and the nation of Israel. Well, we're speaking today to David Andrew, and David is the editor of a Christian magazine, Sword. Hello, David.
Hello, Colin. Yeah, good to be with you today.
Yes, yeah, good to speak with you. David, just tell us a little bit at the beginning. Sword magazine, what does it aim to do? How long has it been running?
Well, in terms of how long it's been running, yeah, there's a sort of two-edged answer to that, Colin, because Sword started its life as Prophecy Today magazine, which many will remember was founded by Dr. Clifford Hill back in the 80s. Sword, I suppose, is taking a different tack these days, because those who are familiar with its predecessor will remember that for something like 20 years, Prophecy Today warned of judgment that would come upon the nations, particularly the Western nations, unless there was repentance for the departure from God and his ways that has been the trademark in many ways of the past two or three generations. Now, given that that the judgment, I think we would all agree these days that 9/11 and the attack on American soil was a watershed. Since then, of course, we've had 7/7, we've had various other things. There is no question that God's judgment is beginning to work through the nations. But I believe it's entirely scriptural to say that the leading edge of judgment is mercy. God's plan with his judgments is to allow, in many ways, the consequences of our own choices to work right through society, so that hopefully people will come to their senses and call out to him, because he's willing to save. Mm-hmm. But someone once said that if we won't listen to the words of the Lord, we end up having to listen to the works of the Lord. And Sword magazine is trying to recognize now that you don't prophesy judgment when judgment is already working through. There's a new remit required, and that, in a sense, is to enable God's people to shine with a brighter light as the darkness of judgment deepens over the nations. And so we're trying to build the faith of God's people, right, on the basis that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness.
Okay, so you print Sword, and its editorial content is aimed principally at God's people.
Principally, yes, we're seeking to speak not into the nations, but into the church. And we're recognizing that the church has a tremendous responsibility to be salt and light. And I'm not talking in those terms about the activities that we do in favor of the community. I'm talking about how we represent God within the community, and whether God is visible in a holy people.
Okay, thanks for that, David.
Okay.
I'm looking at the, and this is December 2007, looking at the most recent issue of the Sword magazine, and on the rear cover, there's a mention of a film, The Destiny of Britain, speaking,
yes,
about Christian leaders of an earlier generation viewed the place of Israel in God's purposes, and also the place that Britain as a nation played in the re-establishing of the nation of Israel.
Well, in some ways, I would say The Destiny of Britain is a very interesting film, because it takes an angle that's quite different from many documentaries you may have already seen on Israel. This one, in a sense, I think, paints some members of the evangelical community and evangelical leadership into a corner. Because, for instance, I would say that there are many evangelicals today who have actually bought into Islamic PR. They tend to believe the skewed reports of the media more readily than they believe what's plainly there on the pages of God's Word. And so I think we're in a very serious situation, that many evangelicals are not supportive of Israel as they could be. Now, I don't take the line. I don't know any fellow evangelicals who support Israel who take the line that it's Israel right or wrong, or that there are no critical things to be said about the humanist government that Israel has. But what we are saying is that the issue essentially is not Israel. Israel is the issue of God's character, God's unchanging character, and his covenant purposes. So there is a sense in which you discover a strange anomaly, because many evangelicals would have heroes like Bishop J.C. Ryle, Murray McChain of Dundee, Charles Spurgeon, the famous Victorian Baptist. These would be the heroes of many modern evangelicals, and yet there is a huge gulf between these same evangelicals and what their heroes believed about Israel and destiny of Britain. Certainly makes that very clear.
So your magazine and the articles you carry within it would be supportive of the view that Israel has some place in God's end time purposes, is that correct?
Yes, we would take that line. We would I hasten to add that we're not a one issue magazine, where Israel is not the only theme that runs through Sword, but it's an important theme, it's a key theme, and we would say it's crucial because first of all, God is a covenant-keeping God. B, I would say the new covenant was made with the Jewish people, not with Gentiles. It was not made with the church. It was made with the people of Israel, and it was promised to the people of Israel through Jeremiah and Ezekiel. God is still fulfilling the terms of the new covenant, and therefore that pertains. I think there's another reason, too, why Israel is really significant for these days, and that is that we believe that the formation of the State of Israel in 1948 was nothing short of a miracle of God's grace. And likewise, the outcome of the Six Days War in 1967, believe that we see the hand of God in these things. Things that, in a sense, can't really be explained without reference to Scripture.
So you would see these things as both biblical and pivotal?
Yes, I would.
And what is the consequences or impact of these things for the Gentile church?
Well, in a funny sort of a way, Colin, I would say that this might sound crazy, but for me, you see, I find theology to be one of the most feet in the ground kind of activities that people could adopt. The man in the pub is a theologian, whether he realizes it or not, because everybody has some kind of view of God. Even an atheist is a theologian if he's making a statement that there is no God. He's trying to say something about God, which is the purpose of theology. Now, I believe that the whole issue of Israel makes people one or other of a kind of theologian. And what we believe about something has a colossal impact on how we behave. If we believe that God has finished with the Jews, if we believe that, to put it in the vernacular, the Jews have blown it, and God has had to turn his attention and his favor toward the Gentiles instead, then we're actually saying that in some real sense the church has replaced Israel and has become, if you like, a kind of spiritual Israel. Now, there are many who believe that or some similar type of that.
This is where the term replacement theology comes
from. Exactly, that's right. Now, that's a very serious matter because the consequence for the church, I believe, is immense. At its most basic level, I would say that it undermines every communion service that the church is likely to conduct in the next few months or years. Many people faithfully going to their communion service, say once a month in a Church of Scotland or a Methodist church or wherever they happen to worship, that communion service is based on the New Covenant. If the New Covenant was made with the Jews and God has abandoned them, then the church has no basis for its communion service, it has no basis for its hope, and it has no gospel to proclaim. It's as serious as that. If you look at the terms of the New Covenant, and I would really ask many believers, and especially many ministry leaders, please have a look at the terms of the New Covenant as set out in Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31. Have a look at the terms of the New Covenant and ask yourself this question. How much is God asking of his people? And another question related to that, how much is he asking of himself? And I think that people will be astonished to realize that in both those statements of the New Covenant, God doesn't ask a thing of his people, and he requires a great deal of himself. We live in a world, Colin, where basically most people believe that you get nothing for nothing. And the idea of getting something for nothing is alien to our society. But I believe that at the very heart of the New Covenant is something for nothing. And that's why grace is such a very difficult issue for many who call themselves Christians to get their heads around. Most of us instinctively believe that somehow or other we have to earn the favour of God. And yet the heart of the New Covenant is that God's favour is, it takes precedence over anything that we would do for him.
And you would extend that definition, if you like, of grace to God's selection of Israel as a means to bring blessing to the world?
Well, yes, I think the big problem with Israel in the thinking of many people in the church, Colin, is that because we don't understand grace, we think we understand law. Because of those twin problems, we don't appreciate, really, that what we're actually doing is we're unwittingly judging Israel by law and judging the church by grace. We're operating a double standard, which of course God wouldn't do. One of the big problems we've got is that theology essentially has been hijacked by the academic community. You need to bear in mind that the people that Jesus first chose to propagate the gospel were certainly not theologians. In fact, those who were theologians in that day, in the academic sense, couldn't understand where these men had got their learning from and why they seem to be able to speak with authority. Let me come back to the issue of Israel and why we don't understand what's going on. Because there's a sense in which many of us seem to think that Israel was chosen by God because he had some special favoritism toward a particular race. We need to bear in mind that the Hebrew race did not exist until God created it. So it wasn't like God showing favor to the Hebrews as opposed to any other race. It was God himself who made Abraham a Hebrew. The basic word Hebrew, Evrit, has the root meaning of crossing over. And that's literally what God caused Abraham to do. Abraham started his life as a Babylonian and was brought out of that idolatrous system and taught how to walk with God. So there's a sense in which we need to understand, and I believe it's urgent that the church needs to understand, not just for Israel's sake, but for the sake of the average Christian who's attending church and taking communion. We need to understand that God did not choose Israel because of her righteousness or because of any strange favour on his part. He chose Israel to be a representative community of the whole of the human race before him, and representative of our sinfulness. And it's very clear from things that he said through Ezekiel and other prophets that he did not choose the Jewish people because of their righteousness, but that he recognized their sin and he wanted to reveal himself and his grace, his mercy, and, as Paul would say, his kindness and his sternness. He wanted both of those features to be revealed in his dealings with Israel. Israel is like a living visual aid for the rest of humanity, and we're supposed to learn from how God has dealt with Israel and how God is continuing to deal with Israel.
Well, these are a few things you've given us to ponder, David. Thank you for that.
Well, thanks very much for the opportunity to speak with you, Colin.
Not at all, and thank you for the time.
Okay.
Every blessing.
And yourself. Bless you now. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, that was an interview with David Andrew, the editor of the magazine Sword, bringing a challenging word to God's people. You can find out more information about Sword by visiting them on their website at www.swordpdp.com. swordpdp.com. This interview was brought to you by Christians Together, the website serving the Christian community in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland.